Good morning. It's a blessing to be here this morning. Blessing to be with God's people. Amen. Thank you, Sammy, for sharing. You preach a hard message. Thank you for that. Have any of you ever felt the rocky places that he mentioned this morning? Those things that we try to hide, and the things that maybe those are truly the things that God wants to root out of us. Maybe those are the things that God really wants to give us victory in. So it's a hard message, but it's a good truth. This morning on the way, and this made me just think about it. This morning on the way, and I found a splinter on my finger. And as I was trying to dig it out, I thought, boy, this little thing is like a little sin in my life. The little sins that sometimes are deep in our heart are they're hard to root out. It seems it's hard to let go. It seems it's hard to ask God for help in that area. But when they're out, it feels better. It just feels freeing. And so, encouraging word. We're just going to continue that thought in the story of Moses out of Exodus. We're going to be spending a lot of time in Exodus this morning, some in Hebrews, and looking at Moses' life and the way that he, yes, made a lot of mistakes, but yet at the end of the day, he walked with God in a powerful way. And God used him mightily for the children of Israel. I too was blessed with the youth meetings. I was really encouraged, really refreshed. And just the anticipation, the excitement, the worship times and the prayer times, the fellowship times, there was one night, one afternoon, you just saw the young people caring for each other, praying for each other, and in repentance and so forth. And it just gave me a new vision to co-labor with you all, you young people, just in a greater way. I can say, standing here this morning, I'm excited about the future, very excited. I'm excited to co-labor with you all because truly the harvest is great. And we just pray that the Lord of harvest would send forth laborers into the harvest. And this morning my focus is going to be, how do you prepare to be a laborer? How do we prepare our hearts? Sammy touched on it already. How do we prepare our hearts? The title of my message is Embracing Eternal Treasure. Embracing eternal treasure. We heard a lot how we should transfer treasure, but how do we embrace it? How do we bring it into ourselves and walk in it? And as I looked at my goal was to skim across the Old Testament and even get into the new of the different men and women of God that walked, that we have record of in the Bible. And I got no farther than Moses. I started in Moses. I started kind of in the front of the Bible. And that's all the farther I got. So I don't know if God wants me to continue there talking about the different women and men of the Bible and continue the thought. But this morning we're gonna look at Moses' life. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 34 for starters here. And I want to bring a little bit of a backdrop into who Moses was, and just the thought this morning of he was a normal human being. He was a man in flesh and blood, and felt his weakness certainly pretty heavily at times. Deuteronomy 34:10 says, "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." And so God had a unique relationship with Moses through his life. But Moses was born of faith. His parents had faith. If you just turn with me quick over to Hebrews, and then we'll come back to Exodus. His parents were a couple that had faith, obviously. Hebrews 11, 23, let's start in 23 and go all the way up to 29. Maybe just before I go there, Moses was adopted by the daughter of Pharaoh, taught the Egyptian ways, and the study that I found is for 40 years, he was in that royal palace and just learning everything about the Egyptian laws, just embracing the Egyptian pride, all the things that they stood for. He was growing in knowledge and had that taught to him for his first 40 years. And then there was 40 years of being on the backside of the desert, shepherding sheep. And God was just unlearning him all that stuff he had learned the first 40 years. And then later in his life, it says he died at 120. And so you have 40, 40, and 40. And God used him mightily for those 120 years. And but the key here is he walked with God. Acts states it like this: and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Two things: in words and deeds. So he was highly educated, probably one of the highest educations you can get at that time. And Egypt at that time was really progressive. It was one of the most productive countries. And economically, socially, every area, they were way advanced and highly developed. And this is what Moses was taught. So it gives us a little insight on who he was early in life. But in Hebrews 11, 23, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child or a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. So we see the major critical choice that he made in verses 25 and 26. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Here there were slaves. His people were slaves. And he chose to suffer affliction with them instead of enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. So he passed that. He made a choice there to follow after God. But it cost him his position. It cost his place in the royal palace. And so he left that. Let's go to Exodus 3. While we're going there. So why would God use a wilderness to prepare a leader of his people? Why would he made that choice, and then he led him for 40 years into the wilderness, a journey. Basically to create a stripping process of what he had just learned. Can you imagine everything you learned for 40 years and all of a sudden God would change direction just by a little choice that you made? I think he was a man after God all that time. But yet he made the choice after 40 years to go after God in a new way. He said, this isn't working. This my life that I'm living now is not working. Do you ever get to that place? It's like, I'm ready for something fresh. I'm ready for something new. And this is what Sammy was talking about. The soil is prepared. It is, if I let the seed in, if it will, that determines if it will produce any fruit or not in my life. But the moment I choose, then the seed can fall, the truth can fall in that dirt, in my heart, and then the fruit begins to come out. Not an easy process for Moses at all. But he did it. He made a choice to go through that stripping process. He went to the from the royal courts to the backside of the desert, tending sheep for his father-in-law. So what was God's purpose in this? He stripped him of his royal thinking, his self-confidence, and all his Egyptian pride. So basically, God was transferring treasure in Moses. And certainly would have been impossible to do this in the royal palace. There's no way that it could have happened. I've never tended sheep, but I can only imagine it would be lonely. There you are in the middle of a desert, just you and the sheep. And all you're doing is tending sheep. You're watching, moving them from pasture to pasture. David had a life like that too. So there was a stripping process that was part of God's plan. And I think that's how it is for all of us today. There's a stripping process God wants to take us through. What's the purpose? And I guess a warning for all of us. Any leader dare not challenge the stripping process of God. We dare not challenge that. Because that's a preparation for the people of God. So we watch the process in Moses' life and the call that comes in Exodus 3:11. Let me just go there. So before this, we see the story of the burning bush. He's out there tending sheep. We see the story of the burning bush. And God talked to Moses through the burning bush. And he says in verse 7, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So God saw this, and he had a great burden for it. And the cry of Israel was coming up to him because of the oppression there. In verse 10, he says, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? So we see the call here on Moses' life, and Moses expresses first his unworthiness. We see that in verse 11 here, his unworthiness, not worthy of that task at all. And he felt undeserving, inadequate, apparently. He says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? He's like, everything that I ever knew, now I got unlearned. And now I'm asking to do this great big task. And so we see the weakness, and he expresses it to God. And he goes on into 12, and he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. So here's God's response to his unworthiness. He says, certainly I will be with thee, And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. What an encouragement for him. That's God's heart, is when we give everything to him and then he sees our weakness, he sees our how easily we could reject his call. And then he comes with a truth for Moses. And he begins to strip him in a greater way. So now he's listening. Moses is listening. Exodus 3:13 says, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" Do you see what's happening here? Apparently Moses had experiences of trying things and he was rejected. Now he's saying, how in the world am I going to propose this to them? I'm going to get rejected. Who is this guy? Who is this lowly shepherd that we know almost nothing about? There's a generation that came and almost went. Who is this guy? And Moses is feeling this, right? Do you ever feel unworthy? And then we have the fear of rejection. Specifically talking about God knocking on our hearts. I'm not able. I don't know if I can do this. I'm not sure if I'm qualified. I'm not sure if I have the knowledge to do this. I'm not sure if God will help me. These people are going to reject me. So he feels the fear of rejection. As God is calling him, you see this call in Exodus 3. And God is working on him. He's trying to plant in him, Moses, you got to listen to me. So he fears the wrong response from his people, which is understood. He was arrogant at one point. He took an Egyptian and killed him because of he got angry with the man and he killed him because of him whipping some of his people or beating some of his people. So here we see the fear of rejection in, you don't have to turn back there, but I just want to grab a verse in Exodus 2 where he says, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us?" This is right after he killed the Egyptian. And these Hebrew men said to him, "Who made thee?" They were fighting as well. They strove together, it says in the prior verse. "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian?" And Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." So how am I going to go talk to these people, this king that I lived with, possibly? I lived in that place. How am I going to tell these people that I want to take him out of the land of Egypt? Now look at God's response in 14 to that rejection that he felt could come. "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you." So he gave him two solutions. He said, "Tell them I am that I am. That's who I am. I am has sent me to you." I looked up the definition of I am, and it says, "I will be all for you." I'm sorry, let me start over. "I will be for you all that you need." As you're facing your challenges this morning, he is the I am. He will be all for you that you need. And that's how God encouraged him to his that fear of rejection. So going forth, he knew that he was going to have a divine presence. He knew that I'm going to just have to lay myself down and I'm going to have to let God lead me through this. And it's going to have to be a higher hand that leads the children of Israel out of Egypt. So Moses already had been rejected by the Egyptians and also his own people. So God, there was a real fear here. And so this morning, just all that are called here, right here this morning, ask yourself the hard question. Am I going in the name of the Lord? Or am I going on my own strength and self-confidence? There's a big difference. Is it self-sent, self-made, self-empowered people or ministries that are commissioned by the Lord? I tell you, these areas will surely fail. Maybe they'll go on a year. Maybe they'll go on 5 years. Maybe they'll go on 10 years. But it won't have a lasting effect. And I think Moses knew this, and he felt his weakness physically. I was reminded in Acts they were commissioned and sent by the church. And this is the beautiful thing. God added to the kingdom daily. And on top of that, he did many miracles. When God orders the steps, when he sets it up, it's not an instant thing. Look at what Moses' life. I'm personally not sure if I would have patience for all that. The 40 years of shepherding sheep. I mean, would you all? Can you imagine seeing your people under slavery and you're just going to backside of the desert and tend your father-in-law's sheep for 40 years? It would seem lonely. It would seem like a waste of time. But really, it was Moses' heart that God wanted. Maybe it took 40 years. Maybe it should have only took 10. Maybe some of you are prepared in a year. Praise God. I believe that can happen. I'm not saying it needs to take 40 years. I'm saying the heart, when it's given to God, it can be prepared in a very short time. If there's a heart of humility there. But in Acts, they were commissioned. God added and did many miracles. And Moses knew that. He had experienced that already. And he wasn't about to work on his own strength. We're going to jump ahead to Exodus 4. There's much reading there. I don't think I'm going to go into that this morning. So let's just go to verse 1 there in Exodus 4. We see Moses dealing with another thing. Unbelief. There we go. We see him dealing with his unbelief. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." What? So he's just having an honest conversation with God. He's saying, This is who I am, Lord. I don't see myself doing this, and this is what I feel is going to happen. They're not going to believe me. They're not going to embrace what I have for them. I mean, I lived with these people for 40 years while I was tending sheep, and I had no value. They're not going to listen to me. And so you put that beside when Moses was in Egypt. Here he was mighty in words and deeds. So he knew how to do everything. He had so much intellect. He basically knew how to live life to the fullest, per se. And then you have him here as a basically feeling unworthy, fear being rejected, and now he's not believing God in what he said. He's not. He's only questioning it, right? And he's actually afraid. One thing I wanted for you, something for you to think about while we go through this is, he was mighty in word. But yet when it came to going in and talking to the king, he said he couldn't speak well. He could hardly speak. And we'll look at that here a little bit later. It says he was slow of speech in verse 10. So here he had just been mighty in word, and now he was slow in speech. He couldn't get it out. He couldn't get the burden out. But anyway, God's response to his unbelief. Look what God did for him. And the Lord said unto him, "What is in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." Well, here's something that Moses carried for 40 years every day. And God asked me, "What's in your hand?" It's a rod. It's what I used for 40 years to tend sheep. It's just a simple question. So you see God is going to use some of the common things that Moses was very familiar with to help him get over this. He was going to try to help him get past this and help him to step up to the plate and do what he was calling him to do. And so he used his rod. He said, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth thy hand and take it by the till." And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, "And they that may believe that the Lord God of their fathers and the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee." The Lord said furthermore unto him, "Put now thy hand in thy bosom." So he put his own hand in his bosom, and he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, "Put thine hand into thy bosom again." And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. It shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take the water of the river and pour it upon dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. So here he took three things: the rod turning into a serpent, his hand becoming leprous, and the water turning to blood. And these signs were way beyond Moses. There's no way he could have made this happen on his own strength. And so there was signs that God gave him. And I feel this is something that God wants to do in our lives. Because he took each of these signs. Look here, he made a spiritual lesson out of each one. And you're going from illustrating the natural to the supernatural, taking a rod and turning it into a serpent. Something that he used for 40 years, he turned that into a serpent right in front of him. This was in front of Moses now to help him believe and to help him trust in the Lord for the work that he had. Do you see the process? Is there any of you going through that this morning? You don't have to raise your hand. But there's a process that you're going through that God has an end goal in mind. All of us. He wants to take us from the natural to the supernatural. From the normal, he took him from the normal to the miraculous. I mean, how do you take water out of the sea, pour it on dry land, and it turns into blood? So Moses, it was clear to Moses that God was going to deliver the children of Israel by his spirit. Zechariah, here's a principle. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. And so when embracing his call, when we feel the treasure, what we treasure now, can we just let that go? Are we okay with that? Are we okay with the supernatural? So the spiritual lesson we see in the rod in verse 2, 3, and 4, he says, Moses, look what's in your hand. And here was, like I said, Moses was using this every day. And God placed it and used something that he used every day. And then God questioned him, what is it? And he said, cast it down. And it startled Moses. He fled. And then he said, then what did God tell him to do in verse 4? He said, pick it up. Where did he tell him to pick it up? By the tail. Is it safe to pick up a serpent by the tail? Never. Never. So he was going to extreme measures to show his glory. If you pick up a serpent by the tail, it's bound to strike you. It's bound to bite you. You always pick it up by the head, any snake, because then it can't bite you. But he was going the opposite of everything the natural had to offer. And he was saying, I want to show you fully and clearly that I'm in control. And he said, pick it up by the tail. Now Moses knew, he was from Egypt, so he knew very well that that wasn't wise. But he did it, and it turned back into his rod. He was learning obedience. It didn't make sense, but by his spirit. So the other two signs, the leprosy and the water becoming blood, it also showed that it was going to be God's spirit and his word. And God clearly used those and built them one upon the other for convincing Moses first and then also the people of the king. So now Moses' fear and unbelief was being changed. Right here, these things were slowly being changed in Moses. And he was giving himself to God in a greater way. So when you allow God to work in the tests of life, it will determine how effective you can be as a laborer. This morning sitting here, it will determine how you will be as a laborer. So yeah, let's continue on. Let's in verses going on into 10 there. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not elegant, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Okay, here was a man that was mighty in word, and now he's slow in speech and of a slow tongue. So now Moses doubted himself that he could even get it out. So now he was also dealing with doubt. And God gave him a solution. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be thy mouth, and teach what thou shalt say. Wow. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Now he's still doubting. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, here's his provision. Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know he can speak well, and also behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. Wow. Here God made the provision for Moses when he was doubting that he could do it. But you know, we could ask the questions, did the Lord not choose because of all his intellect and what he learned? Did he not choose him for that? Did the Lord not recognize his many years of intense study in Egypt, degrees, accomplishments? Now, why was he at this place where he couldn't speak right? He was slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Apparently, the Lord didn't recognize this. He stripped that away from him. For 40 years, he stripped all that away and took him into isolation and totally away from where he had been before. And to me, as I think about that, as we think about this morning, that has that has good grounds for discouragement, does it not? We could say that would be discouraging. But God, right? God was using this. But isolation like that, after being in the royal palace, to me would have grounds for discouragement in the natural. But God used it for his glory. He was looking for a man who would obey his word, someone who would depend on his spirit. And he knew it would take a lot of miracles, obviously, to lead these people out of the promised land. And we're not going to get into all that this morning, but look at all the miracles that God performed through Moses after he yielded himself. I mean, obviously, he was yielding here. He was slowly yielding, but he was being honest. He was being honest with the Lord. I'm dealing with this, God. I'm dealing with this, and I'm dealing with this and this. I can't see my way through. But yet God kept pushing him on, and he kept giving him truth and saying, I'll be this for you. I'll be this for you. I'll be this for you. I hope you get over each one of these, and I'll be those for you. Just trust me in this. Hold on to it. Stay with the ship. Isn't this encouraging? Sometimes when we get low, and I want to be careful how I say this, but we get into a deep struggle. Maybe I'll just say it this way. If you're in a deep struggle this morning, can you look at it as a process and say, God really doesn't want me to stay here. He wants to get me out of this. But I'm going to have to allow my treasure to be transferred and embrace what God has for me. But listen, it takes patience. It takes patience and waiting before God and trusting him. There's not enough of room in the word here to write about all Moses, his feelings and so forth. There's not enough of room here. But I'm sure it would be a book this thick if you would write down everything, all his struggles and everything that he went through to trust God. So my encouragement is, can we look at it as a process? Can we allow God to just tell us in these times when we're honest with him and we say, Lord, help me. Help me go through these things. Because the minute you don't, it leads to discouragement. And I'm not saying that's the end. Certainly not. We can climb out of that with God's help. But Moses knew God was preparing him to be a channel for his glory. So here in verse 11 and 12 was God's solution. We already talked about that. But he says earlier, I am that I am. So he's not saying I'm not. It's not what I'm not. I am that I am, he says. I will be your I am. And God said, I will be your mouth. I will provide for you everything that you need. I found it interesting here at the youth meetings. I was talking to a young man, and we got in this conversation the one afternoon, and he was struggling to share a testimony. We had testimony time on Monday. Was it Monday? Monday. We had testimony time for all the youth. And he was struggling with sharing his testimony. So I shared my testimony with him. And I said, there was a time where I walked in this, all of these. And I would come into a room like this, and I would make sure there's two exit doors in this room. If there wasn't two exit doors, it drove me crazy. Because I was afraid somebody's going to pin me and say, can you share something? And to me, that was like the next thing, like the fear of death and the fear of public speaking. Those were two things that I dealt with before I got born again. And I was sharing this with him. And I said, God helps us overcome. He helps us overcome. Now, I stand before you this morning and say, I'm not always comfortable. That's not true. I don't always get excited about being up here. I get excited about sharing with you what God has laid on my heart. But I don't always get excited to stand before a group of people. There are some times my knees tremble. But I'm blessed this morning to be with a group of people, a group of men especially. When John Omer reaches out to you and says, can you share a devotional? Sure, I'll do that. There's times where you men already have come and said, I really have a message burning on my heart. Can I share it sometime? That's not natural. That's not natural in you all. But it's you making a choice. I'm going to share with God's people what God has laid on my heart. And I was sharing with this young man, and he was struggling with the thought of sharing his the testimony of what God was doing this week in his or last week in his heart. And as we talked, I could see God refreshing him. And when he got up to share, it was evident God was with him. I talked to a pastor recently in a local church, and he said, Jesse, how do you get people to want to share the word of God in your church? I said, I don't know. I'm not sure if there is a method to that. I don't know. And he said, we struggle with getting men to share on a Sunday morning besides the ones that are ordained. So again, I'm thankful that we can overcome. We can overcome this. And maybe we're all at different places. That's fine. That's totally fine. But I'm just thankful that the principle I want to bring out here of that whole testimony is when God tells you to do something, do it. He'll give you the grace for it. When you feel like God is nudging on your heart, now maybe there's a place to test it. You can come before God in prayer and you feel this nudging. It's okay to say, Lord, I'm not sure if what I felt is truly what you want me to do. But if it comes again in prayer and again and again, he's doing the same thing to you as he was doing to Moses. The book doesn't say everything Moses dealt with. The book doesn't say the inner struggles in detail, right? But God was knocking. He was calling on his heart. And Moses knew it. Then he started asking the real questions. Then he started saying this. And that was okay. That's fine. But God was there to help him. And so my encouragement to us all here this morning is, when God knocks on your heart, reach out to him. Share your struggles with him. Ask him for strength. He'll speak to you. And it's all for his glory. So Moses, in verse 13, was working every area. And now in verse 13, he says, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. So here he's dealing with feeling inferior. Certainly this is not, I'm not the one that you're calling. I mean, there is many more men here that could do this much better than I can. They can speak. They have a lot more faith in you. They don't deal with all these things, feeling unworthy and the fear of getting rejected, or maybe even not believing you, doubting, and then feeling inferior. And he's saying, there's many more men here that could do this besides me. And I think he probably would have said, certainly, Lord, you're making a bad choice here. You're really making a bad choice by choosing me, right? Do we sometimes, sometimes we think that, right? We say, certainly not me, no. I mean, I'm not even ready. I can't even do this. I don't know how am I even to prepare for this? Whatever area of life it may be. Maybe some of you young parents, recently, you know, your families are being added to, you're having more children. And you're like, how do we do this? How do we start school? What should we homeschool? Should we send our children to school? What should we do? I don't know. We can't. And you have all these thoughts. But God is saying, you can do it. Moses, you can do it. This is not a bad choice. The Amplified says for that verse, O Lord, I pray you, send by the hand of some other whom you will send. So basically Moses is saying, I would rather take another place of leadership. I would rather do something else. So where have we been? Are we like a proud Egyptian? Do we need to be unlearned like Moses? Are we a humble shepherd like he is and willing to receive whatever treasure God wants to give us and let him have control? But in the end, God gave Aaron as a mouthpiece to Moses, and just a beautiful reminder of trusting God again. Also, one thing that stood out to me there is he was also asking him to do that, and he was saying, I want you to work as a team. If you notice how he wrote that there, how he said that, he said, I want you to work as a team. You know, one with the other, speaking for each other. I'll be your mouth. I'll be his mouth. I'll be his portion. I'll be your portion. And he was basically saying, work together as a team, and then you can move forward and you can lead these people out. Again, our focus here this morning is to trade what we have been operating in, or whatever is not bringing glory to God, trading that in for treasure and saying, Lord, I want what you want. Everything that I need, you have for me. I trust you. Everything that I need. Whatever area of life it is, may God help us to continue to trust in him. Exodus 5:21. Let's go there. I think that's what it is. We're going to jump ahead a little bit. Uh, 21 and 22, he says, I'm going to go back to 20. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto him, the Lord look upon you. Okay, so here's where they went in already. Just give you a little backdrop here, chapter 5. They already went in and stood before Pharaoh and asked, and basically told him what their request is, that they're going to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. And here Pharaoh said, you guys don't have enough to do. You're going to have more to do. So he said, we were providing straw for you before to make bricks. You're going to have to find your own straw. You're going to have to find your own materials to make what we need made. And the same amount of bricks need to be made every day, but you're going to take care of it all. So they were already slaves. And now they have to find their own resources to still meet the quota. So now the people of Israel are talking to them in 21 and 22. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon thee and judge, because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? Look at that last phrase that he said. Why is it that thou hast sent me? So now everything that Moses is doing, everything that he's learning, everything that God is bringing to him and challenging him with, he's saying, why is it that thou hast sent me? Because of what just happened, why did you send me? He's looking at the lack of fruit that's coming out of this situation. And he's very, in one way, disturbed. For things to become better sometimes, they first need to get worse, depending on the situation. And here's what God was doing. He was taking the whole into every, he was taking everything as a whole. And he was saying, it's not only about you, Moses. In fact, it's not just about your people. It's also not just about Egypt. It's also about my name. And he's saying, you have to stay with it. You have to let me work. Because he didn't tell him it's going to get worse. But basically, Moses expressed it, and he's saying, this isn't bringing any fruit, God. I mean, why did you send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Here you can see his impatience. He's like, Lord, when is this going to happen? Like, why don't we just lead these people out now? What else is it going to take, right? God said, just stay with it. Just stay with it. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of this land. You know, I'm convinced. May this be an encouragement to us this morning to trust the Lord in greater ways. Was that all God needed? Were those couple verses, those couple things that Moses said to him, was that all that God needed to say, okay, now you're with me, Moses. I have your attention again. Now we're going to do this. So as you go through the process of maybe God stripping things down in your life, talk to him about it. It's easy to talk to other people and get counsel, which is not wrong in itself, but talk to God first. And just maybe God will help you with that situation. Because it would almost seem like Moses is saying, reminding the Lord that, hey, there's no fruit coming out of this, you and I working together in this situation. In fact, we haven't even started to walk yet. We didn't even pack up. The people aren't even with us. And all God needed to shift into the plagues was Moses saying, I need something greater than myself, Lord. I can't do this by myself. You sent me. I did what you told me to. I went in and did the unthinkable, Elmer, before the king. And I told him what you said to me that I should say. I did that, Lord. And there's still no fruit. I'm still waiting. There's still nothing that came out of this. But you see the evidence of God stripping Moses' heart down. And then God leading the way instead of Moses. So as God raises up leaders, may we continue to learn more of his ways. And the real key here is that his glory would come through our lives. That his glory would shine through our lives. Let's go to Exodus 33. We're going to jump ahead quite a bit here. But I want to bring something into the picture here. In closing, Exodus 33, 9 to 23, we see Moses' heart of humility before God. And as God works with his brokenness, Moses just folds and he says, Lord, it's for your glory. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Now this is after we've been through the process. We've been through a lot. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. What a beautiful prayer. That I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? It is not in that thou goest with us. So shall we be separated, and I and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do the thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Wow. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock and will cover with my hand while I pass by. Now this morning, I just want you to picture with me your situation. I don't know your situation, but this is speaking to me this morning. Allow yourself and allow God to be your resting place. And he says, I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. That verse there. It shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the clift of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. You know, at the end of the day, God has your back. He has everything. He has all of you. It's not by might, not by power, but by his spirit that we walk in. So maybe in conclusion here, God is looking for meek men to work through. He's looking for normal people like you that he can work with in the kingdom of God. And I just want to encourage the older people here too. God is using you for a purpose. I really feel that deep in my heart. God wants to use your older folks in your older years for a purpose. And he is using you for that. Maybe it seems small, minute sometimes, but be encouraged. God wants to use you in your older years by his grace. And he will. When we humble ourselves under God, no matter what, we learned in the past, our past experiences, good or bad, he just wants us to come. And will we make mistakes? Yes, we will. Moses made many mistakes. In fact, one major one that kept him out of the promised land was striking the rock. He didn't follow through with what God told him. It wasn't necessarily the rod that hit the rock, but it was what was in Moses' heart that God felt like, no, this is not going to work. We're going to make mistakes, but yet let's trust God. We repent and keep trusting. Let yourself go through a refining process of where God has you this morning. And so ultimately, as we humble ourselves, as we give that to the Lord and embrace the treasure, the victory will come. There was many a times that the children of Israel were right up against, and then God opened a door, the Red Sea experience. I was going to say unbelievable, but it is believable. You know, really, how do you part waters? How does that happen? And then you go through, and then God takes care of the enemy. Can God take care of the enemy in our lives? He can, and he will, as we trust in him. Will our flesh complain? Yes. Will it be uncomfortable? Yes. Will it be worth it? Yes, it will. It will be worth it. Maybe just to wrap it up here, not by power, not by might, but by his Spirit. Just want to encourage us this morning. Some of the things that we're praying for, some of the things that we see around us, maybe even some of the things in our own lives that we need help on, I don't think it's going to happen naturally. There has to be a supernatural power working in our lives to help us with some of these things. Would you agree? Can we trust God for that this morning? Young people, I said at the beginning of my message, I'm excited to co-labor with you. I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. And I'd like to, I don't know if I said it here. I wasn't planning to say this, but if I ever said this before, that the next generation needs more than my generation, it's actually not true. What it does, it makes a separation between me and the young people. And I'm sorry for that. We're going to go forward together. We're in this together. We're going to co-labor together. We're battling together. And I am with you in this. I'm excited about the Church of Jesus Christ today. But I do realize that I need to walk with God. And we need to walk with God because he wants to do some supernatural things in the end times and in our lives today. Maybe it's just a small deliverance in my life of these things here that God wants to bring me from. Maybe I'm doubting something. Maybe I'm having unbelief in an area that God wants to deal with. I don't know what we're dealing with this morning. I do know what I'm dealing with. And I'll just be honest. Some of the things are going to take supernatural power for me to overcome. Let's just pray for a couple moments here. Just bow our heads. You know what you're dealing with. Just take the life of Moses and see the process and just say, thank you, Lord.